Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Let's get out to the phones. Got buy or sell coming up in a few minutes. 410-583-1057 is the number. People want to vent. Want to rag on Hyde, okay. You want to rag on Elias, we're listening. You want to rag on the players. You know, they're the ones that have played themselves into this mess. Let's go to Bill in Annapolis. Bill, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Well, I just want to talk about a couple things real quick. First of all, I had no problem with Brandon being fired. I think the two playoff disasters, the end of last year, the start of this year, and then his, I think, terrible bullpen management and pretty poor lineup preparation. So for those reasons alone, I'm kind of glad he's gone. We need to get a good experienced coach. Now, second thing I wanted to talk about real quick is I think we fire the three-headed hitting coaches. I mean, they're terrible for Holiday's dad to have to notice he had a flat bat. Come on, you got three guys looking at him. Why did his dad have to identify that? I don't think any of those guys are very good. I think we need a good, experienced hitting coach to come in here. Analytics are a tool. They're not a religion. You use them, but you need a guy that knows how to teach hitting. And then pitching, I'd let Frenchie go. I don't think he's a good pitching coach. I'm still annoyed that, one, they promoted Holtey to pitching coach. He was perfect for the developmental job. Should have stayed there, give him more money. And we need to get somebody in here that's an experienced pitching coach and can really work and develop the guys. So that's pretty much everything I had to say.
All right, Bill, good points there. Ryan, you know a lot of these guys that he referenced here. What do you think?
Well, so from that standpoint, like we said, there's issues that the Orioles had that were outside of Hyde. But again, there were things that he could have done better. And that does go with playing matchups and some of the lineup decisions. And we even talked off air. And actually, I think we might have talked about it on Friday for BBT. We did. My memory's coming back, Bob. But Tyler O'Neill was going to be in the lineup that night, right?
Yes, he
gets scratched. And Ryan O'Hearn, who's been one of the hottest hitters, was not going to play, and he ends up reaching base four times. And why is that brought up? It's because Mackenzie Gore was on the mound, who's a lefty, and analytics and the lineups were saying, hey, don't play that matchup. That's where I can differentiate. And also, your goal is to try to keep your arms fresh in the bullpen, and the Orioles' arms have been depleting. Now, this year is a little bit different because the starting rotation really isn't going deep enough, but I do understand the concern. I think overall, there has to be certain changes. The one thing I'll say with Jackson Holiday, too, with his dad, Matt, your father knows you the best with your swing. So there are things that they can try to figure out with him, but they haven't been around Jackson enough to work on what makes him work. And I think that's the big thing that we wanted to focus on is baseball does have the analytics, and that's great, but players have to understand what works for them, both on the bump and when they're at the plate here. And I think that's something that they really do have to address is not cookie cuttering things, Bob, but individually making it work for them.
Let's get back to the phone. Sportsnet 583-1057 is the number. Ripping it with Ryan this week. Bob, Andy, Ryan, Ripken, Nolan McGraw, Orioles in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Brewers. Go to Willie in Crofton. Willie, thanks for holding. How are you feeling on this Monday?
I am feeling outstanding and love the show. Love the show. You guys make my day.
Well, thank you, Willie.
Yeah. Listen, Ryan, this is for you, and I appreciate your brutal honesty because you lived it. I don't question my Orioles' toughness. They are there's some tough boys. That being said, I picked up on something last season. When it seemed like the pitchers were going after us by hitting us more than they did the season before. Now, I could be imagining it, but it just seemed that way to me. And nobody did anything. I mean, for all our toughness, I think, how do I put this? I think we're just being too respectful of the other team when they take cheap shots, and we don't have someone who's willing to be, dare I say, the villain, the dog. You know, the guy Manny Machado would have been flying with Manny Machado. I want your opinion. Is that too far base that we're missing a dog, or you know, just I need your help on this one, brother.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate the call and the question. Now, I think another word could be an edge, playing with an edge, playing with a little bit of a spark. And I know some of that goes from, you know, when things are going well, it's that confidence, that swagger that you can't be beat. That was the 2023 Orioles, right? You're up 4 or 5 runs on us. Well, hey, we're coming back, and teams feared that. The Orioles, it seems like, you know, teams aren't fearing the Baltimore Orioles like they did the last 2 years. So I'm not saying that they need to necessarily ruffle some feathers, but I think they do need a guy that can sometimes set the tone. I do think that is a part of it. I interviewed Eddie Murray, just released it last night on my show, The Ryan Ripken Show. And Eddie, two things he said to me that stuck out. One, he doesn't tell people when he's injured. I'm not giving anyone an advantage. And two, they always had a fear that Eddie would do something, whether it was on the field, off the field, but they feared Eddie Murray. And I think that is a big part. I don't think a lot of players around the league are necessarily fearing the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, Eddie Murray was arguably the best player in baseball for a good 3-4, maybe 5 year stretch. Gold Glove first baseman, one of the great switch hitters of all time. So his track record of success, shall we say, speaks for itself. But, you know, Manny would have been out there ready to throw down with Ventura, rest in peace, and Josh Donaldson and all of that. I mean, Manny was ready. Adam Jones looked like he was ready to go. At the drop of the hat. Remember that a-hole threw the bottle at Hyun-Soo Kim in the wild card game?
No doubt.
I thought Jones was going to go up into the stands and start sucker punching anyone wearing a Toronto hat.
I think it is a good point, though, to have, and whether you're saying it's an edge, I'm not buying that people are just going to try to hit the Orioles, but I think that they are going to test them. Baltimore had been the best team in the AL East the last 2 years. I know they won the division last year, but they had the most wins the last 2.5 years in the American League. Now they're going to be tested. They've been tested. Now people want to see how do you respond.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Upper Marlboro. Kevin, thanks for holding your own with Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and the always exciting Nolan McGraw.
Thank you for taking my call. So I have, I have two questions here. How quick do you guys believe that Elias should address the fan base of what the direction going forward is? And also, like, the last 2 years, man, we're not the Dodgers, we're not the Yankees, we're not those clubs, man. We had that window of opportunity. And I bet Elias, he likes to build the organization up, but the reality of it is the last time we won the World Series was in 83. When you have those windows like that, man, you just got to go for it. And do you guys think that they may have been restricted by payroll with ownership? But I just feel like, man, we had that chance to, like, go get some guys to help the big league team get over the hump, and we just didn't go for it.
Hey, Kevin, good call. What do you think there, Ryan Ripken? First of all, ownership. Mm-hmm. Again, David Rubenstein's second season, and they did increase payroll by $70-plus million. They wanted to make Corbin Burns the highest-paid starting pitcher in the history of baseball. Previous regime, however, might have been a little frugal with the dollar there after some early spending sprees from Peter Angelos.
Yeah, I have no problem with the spending this off season. If you have a problem with who they spent the money on, that's very understandable.
No
but
doubt.
They spent money, but they could have spent it elsewhere and we'd be having a different discussion. I think the bigger part that we're learning is you need to figure out with your prospects which ones that you want to keep and which ones you don't. And the problem is you haven't had enough runway for some of the guys to truly know. You know, you made a decision on Joey Ortiz 2 years ago. So, you know what? We're choosing Jordan Westberg over. All right, great. That was in a package for Corbin Burns. Made the decision. But now you're sitting on a guy like Heston where you don't know what he can be because there hasn't been enough sample size, at least in my opinion. I thought he was going to get there last year. He gets drilled, and that derails his season. So I think they have to make a decision, and then That's where I think that they can be aggressive, is that they still have a lot of intriguing bats throughout the system. And if you're not going to draft and develop the pitchers, which they haven't yet, or you're not going to spend top dollar, then go use those assets and go get a guy. And if you're wrong getting a top-end guy, you can live with it. But right now, the only deal that they made for a higher-end pitcher where they gave up two prospects was Trevor Rogers. And right now, that's not the sexy move. And to be quite frank, they were hoping that Trevor would turn back into something that he was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, he was supposed to help them last year. And now we're talking about him as a guy that could be the savior to this year's rotation, even though the numbers down on the farm say otherwise. Let's just put it that way. Bob Hayden, Ryan Ripken. We're ripping it with Ryan all week long here on the Fan. Nolan's on the other side of the glass. We'll come back, count some early week money, hopefully a little buy or sell. Back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Got the whip around coming up 12:45. Derrick Henry's meeting with the media as we speak, as he got a contract extension. Ravens did add a defensive lineman to the equation to, I guess for all intents and purposes, replace Michael Pierce. So we'll have that when we get to NFL lunch. American League East report at 1:15. Orioles in Milwaukee taking on the Brewers tonight. 7:40 first pitch. 6-game losing streak needs to come to an end.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Are you buying
great cash, homie,
or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney,
sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Get 60% off and a free entry door with a house of windows. Plus, pay nothing till 2027. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Ripping it with Ryan all week long. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Orioles fire Brandon Hyde over the weekend in Milwaukee. 3-game series starts tonight. Then it's off to Fenway, taking on the Red Sox. Birds have lost 6 in a row, 12-14. They stink. It is what it is. They're back end of the AL East, 15 games below 500, 11.5 games behind the Yankees. Then again, the American League East, the Yankees are the only team with a winning record. So, as Ryan said, maybe it's a little Lloyd Christmas here. You say there's a chance. Hey, Dallas, 1.8% chance to win the lottery.
Hey, there
and
you
they
go.
Got it. Maybe Cooper Flagg's coming through that door for Manzo, Tony Manzolino, the new Orioles manager here. But anyway, before we get to the sports subjects, and there are a lot of those, let's count some dough here by yourself.
All right, start here in the red. S&P 500 down 1154. The NASDAQ also down 73. Dow Jones is up 24.16, Under Armour down 11 cents, and DraftKings will end on a good. They are up 41 cents. As far as our sports topics today, we'll start in the NBA, where the Pacers are heading back to the Eastern Conference Finals, doing so as a 4 seed or lower both times, last year and this year, making it this far. No one has done that since the playoffs expanded in 1984. To make things even more unique, they've done so through a total group effort. There's no one singular superstar carrying all the weight. Sure, Tyrese Halliburton, he's the recognizable name, but just an average of 17 points per game so far in this postseason run. As a collective, though, they're deadly. Just one of 6 teams in NBA history to average 50% from the field, 40% from 3 in their first 10 playoff games. Buy or sell, Bob, Indiana will maintain those numbers through at least the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm going to sell it because I think Tibbs will get the Knicks playing some tight defense in this series. Halliburton does superstar-ish stuff, like the game winner in Game 2 against Cleveland. Step back three-pointer in the closing seconds there. He's a triple-double waiting to happen. Neesmith has really been a revelation for them in the postseason. And Miles Turner, what do they call him now? Well, he's a center by trade, but pick and pop, stretch five kind of guy. I still like the Knicks in 6. So Indiana will make them hang. I think all of these games will be close. No blowouts, I hope, because I mean, Game 7 yesterday, we'll get to that in a whip. I mean, come on, that wasn't even a game. But yes, I'm selling, Nolan, that they will shoot 50% or better for the series.
Over to the Major League Baseball, rather. Clayton Kershaw Made his 2025 debut over the weekend, but it was one to forget. Only lasted four innings, gave up five earned runs in the process. Now, you're probably expecting some rust here, considering he underwent multiple surgeries in the offseason, and that was after only appearing in 30 innings of action last summer. His recent output with LA seems to be more sentimental than anything, but the Dodgers have dealt with plenty of pitching injuries, so the fact that he's actually needed, well, that says a lot. Buy or sell, Ryan, Kershaw ends up making more than the seven starts he had last year.
I'll buy it. I'll buy and be the optimist here. And mainly, like you said, they need him. You know, it's a team that they've dealt with injuries because every team in baseball deals with injuries. Is it going to be the Clayton Kershaw you expected that debuted back in 2008 all the way till now? No, I'm not going to expect him to be one of the best pitchers in the game. But can he be serviceable? Can he get guys out? Sure. And I mean, heck, if you don't believe me, last year in those seven outings, 4.50 was his worst ERA since his rookie year in 2008 with a 4.26. And then since that, everything in between, nothing higher than a 3.55. So if he's healthy, I'm buying the player and the pitcher that Kershaw is will do enough to help them and get past seven starts.
Go over to the NFL here. Every fan base this time of year usually thinks that their favorite team got screwed when the schedule comes out. They're out to get us. Yep. How dare they make us go here, travel there, go
except
overseas.
Except for Ravens fans. They're the most rational.
Oh, of course. Well, I've seen some complaints out of Philadelphia here since the schedule came out, speaking of rational fan bases, that they're not thrilled with the slate of games they received in their title defense for the Super Bowl. No back-to-back home games at any point here. Now, that's not the first time this has happened, but for a defending champ, it is the first time it's happened in league history. Take that information how you want. But, Bob, are you buying or selling that that's any sort of disadvantage, not having back-to-back home games at any point?
If you're good enough, you could play in Patterson Park and find a way to emerge victorious. And if they stay healthy, they might be the most talented roster in the National Football League. But I did not know that, by the way. No back-to-back home games. Looking at the schedule, they have two instances where they play back-to-back road games. At New York, at Minnesota in October, and then late in the season at Washington, at Buffalo. Ooh, it'd be a little interesting. Then come back for the Commanders to wrap up the season. No, I'm selling. I think they're good. They're a good team. Hurts and everybody, they're healthy. They'll beat anybody at any place, anytime.
And our last topic today, the Twins. Orioles just got done seeing them a few days ago. Their win streak. Well, they beefed it up by playing the Orioles twice. But all in all, finished with 13 wins in a row before it was snapped by the Brewers yesterday. Just last year, Minnesota held the longest win streak of the 2024 season. That was with 12 games. No one else surpassed nine. Other recent seasons show that typically see 4 to 6 teams a summer having a win streak in the double digits. Now, we've got a long way to go this summer, but Minnesota has certainly set the bar pretty high in the meantime. Buy or sell, Ryan, no other team will surpass 13 wins in a row for the rest of the 2025 season.
Yeah, I'm buying that. I think when you say it out loud, 13 straight victories, that's almost 2 weeks of winning. And I will say, maybe we'll see a losing streak because
we might be in the midst of one.
Yeah. Hey, that's not where I was going with this one because the Birds are winning tonight.
Subliminal guy.
Count the Birds are winning tonight, but winning is so hard. In general, and what the Twins did, and they went on a little bit of a bender. Yeah, I could see some teams stringing together 6-7. Hey, maybe they get to 10, but I don't think we're going to see a team go and get a 13-game win streak again this year.
You brought up the Eagles real quick before we hit the break, Nolan. Breaking news, Nick Sirianni has been extended, multi-year extension. From Philadelphia a year ago, this time he's on the hot seat. Now he's getting, hey, the wide world of sports. They start 1-5 because of that schedule. I guess people will be all pissed off at him yet again. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Talk about the Orioles. They've lost 6 in a row, 12-14. Brandon Hyde is gonzo in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Brewers. You have a problem with anything that unfolded with that? I mean, on the field, they've been bad pretty much since the opening weekend of the season. I mean, 15 games below 500. Nobody saw this one coming. So get on in here. And then it's the whip around. There was closure in both the Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs, a couple of game sevens. And this day in Orioles history, it's May 19th. We'll harken back to the good old days of last year. Stick around. You'll find out what happened.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, coming up here at 6 o'clock with Ryan and Tim Barbalace, getting you ready for game one of this series. Then through Milwaukee, off to Fenway, and then back home for the Cardinals coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Well, let's get out to the phones. People want to talk. Brandon Hyde is out. The Orioles are in last place. Other than that, it's all positive, right? Let's go to Steve in Edgewater. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, Bob. Actually, from Laurel High. We've talked many times before.
Yeah, Margaret A. Amundson.
Margaret Amundson.
Up to the fifth grade, baby.
What is Terry Crowley doing nowadays?
Oh, Crow. Crow's unfortunately had some health issues over the time, but Crow. I'm curious where you're going with Crow. I love Crow as a hitting mind.
That's what I mean. That's where, you know, it was always back to him. Yeah, what are the two of y'all's thoughts? And Mr. Ripken, I've never talked to you before. This is a privilege in my mind. So, loved your dad forever. But what can fix this thing?
All right, Steve. Thanks. I mean, Crow, Terry Crowley, of course.
Yeah, Terry Crowley,
king of swing. Didn't he napalm Elias at the Oriole Hall of Fame induction last year, basically said he was a cheater, and if memory serves, he kind of went scorched earth on old Mike Elias. So I don't think that would happen even if Terry was in prime health.
I gotta tell with Crow, and you know, and he's definitely, you know, a different stage of his life now, and but Crow, as far as mindset, I'll tell a quick story about with Crow. He was hitting coach at the end of my dad's career. And actually, I think it was in 99, my dad statistically was off to one of his best starts. And what Crow likes to do, he likes to keep it simple. And they're about routines. And they're also about, let's change a thought process. And I remember in the cage, Crow came to see me when I was in the minor leagues, because he was roving a little bit with the old front office. And we talked about three spots that we had to focus on the tee. And it always started with the pitch away. We work on a ball up the middle and then worry about kind of throwing your hands at the ball inside, but not trying to do too much. But he said those three key things. He goes, but the biggest thing, Ryan, is you're able to cover that outside part. You cover that outside part and you see it as deep as you can. And that's what I grew up with. And he goes, you got it. And there was a charisma around him and a comfortability. Now, Crow, not everyone's going to agree with how Crow teaches hitting. And that's what the big thing is. The challenge for a hitting coach is, how do you connect with the player? What works for them? Because, Bob, let's talk about, let's talk about keeping your shoulder in and your hands have to be kept in a certain way. Does that resonate with you? Maybe. Or sometimes you got to say, hey, Bob, why don't you hold your bat back and maybe flip it down a little bit? How's that feel, right?
Now I'm confused.
Exactly. But... the first thing made sense to you. The second thing might make sense to Nolan. And I think that's the beauty of a great hitting coach. Crow was great because he could connect with the players in that way. Find what works for them. It's not going to be Crow moving forward, but that is an interesting part. And one thing I wanted to say, I love my dad as well too, but not maybe for the reasons that you had is with the whole situation, but he's okay sometimes.
Let's get back to the phones. We will go to Columbia, get Jay. Jay, thanks for holding. You're on with Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and the always fun and electric Nolan McGraw here.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So staying with the theme of hitting, you know, I watch a lot of O's on TV, and it just seems like Rutschman is swinging under the ball, and I had the opportunity to go to the game yesterday. I had pretty good seats off the third base line. And my brother, who was sitting next to me, said, man, look how wide his stance is. And he was like, his legs were beyond shoulder length on both sides. And what we noticed was he had nothing to lean into when the pitch came. So everything was coming from his wrist. And I'm just wondering if you've noticed if he's changed that that swing over time. But it just seemed like, man, he doesn't give himself a ton to work with just with that wide stance. I know nothing about hitting, but clearly what he's doing isn't working right now. And so just wondering, and Ryan, to your point about, you know, acceptability on the part of a player, I'm just wondering if he were to just kind of work on his stance a little bit and play around with that. I know your dad, you know, it seemed like each year he played around with his stance and it helped over time. But, you know, you'd love to see a little bit of a tweak or a tinker here and there just for the sake of helping him get on base. Appreciate the time on the phone.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, Jay, thank you. I mean, and look, it's I'm not going to say that Adley's stance per se of being too wide is the reason why he's been having problems, but this is why, as a hitter, it could be the most minuscule change that you can make, but it could feel like a gigantic change for the hitter. But for Adley, one thing that I'm watching specifically, and I want to first have people explain, being a switch hitter is hard. You don't see a lot of guys do it because you have to work on two different swings, and they're not the same swing. You know, Mark Teixeira had him on recently on the Ryan Ripken show, and Mark talks about how hard it is to figure out what works for you. And over time, Mark figured out he has a certain approach as a righty, certain approach as a lefty, and how he wants to swing. Adley, what I'm seeing as a right-handed hitter, he's having a little trouble catching up to the fastball. And I think it means that trying to get to his fire position. And Bob, you might want to know what the firing position is. I think you do. But for anyone that doesn't know, the firing position is you're trying to get, when you're going to go to swing, your hands are ready to go. So when you're making that movement, it's from that firing position right to the ball. It seems like there's a slight struggle for Adley to consistently get to that spot, and he's been a tad off. That's what I'm seeing personally. But you're right. How do you fix Adley? Hey, you throw different things at him where it hopefully feels good, and then you hope it sticks, and you hope he runs with it. That's the ultimate goal. And yeah, that's what my dad did. He tried different things to get a different feel, and if it felt good to him, that's all that mattered at the end of the day.
By the way, firing position is a lot different in this line of work than it is in a batter's box trying to fire. Firing position means, hey, the general manager would like to see you after the show.
Yeah, you
firing
know
position. All right, real quick, Adley Rutschman. July of 2024. Remember, starting catcher for the American League All-Star team, and deservedly so. He had a .132. 258 on-base percentage. In August last year, 229, 287. September, 213, 286. I mean, these 286s, 287 should be his batting average, if you dig where I'm coming from. And his slugging percentages are, quite frankly, what his on-base percentage should be. So far here in 2000, we talked to Mike Exceso about an hour ago, that statistically, he's been one of the worst hitters in baseball since last summer. April. All right, we'll give him the 286 in July, in March and April. Mm-hmm. We had two home runs on opening day. All right, it counts. All right, let's see. April, 205, 326 on base percentage. Here in May, he's yet to hit a homer, only what? He's got five extra base hits. 185 batting average, 241 on base percentage. His OPS, Ryan Ripken, for the month is 538. And for the season, it's only 640. This is a guy that offensively has, I don't know what his gap stance between the legs is, but I know that his patience at the plate doesn't seem to be as that was a strong suit of his, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the amateur ranks, he's swinging at balls. It says Mike Bordick says his head's flying off. He just looks completely discombobulated with a bat in his hand right now.
And I think that's where the mental side of baseball is so important. Adley Rutschman didn't lose his talent. He didn't get zapped. He didn't have that basketball in Space Jam where he put his hand on and he lost all of his talent.
Became Dwayne Shintzis all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not even sure who that is, Bob.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I know people think I'm just as old as my father and Uncle Bill. Brothers with them, so to speak. But in all seriousness, Adley, it's the mental struggle now. It's the mental. How do you fight to get back to where you were? And I'm curious. We're not going to know this answer, but haven't we heard a lot over the last couple of years? When are you going to extend Adley? And I'll tell you what, when that pressure's on, plus on top of you being the face of the franchise and the team struggling, it's a whole lot of things that has not to do with talent. That's trying to keep yourself in check mentally. That's the most important thing for players as they continue on.
And by the way, rest in peace to Dwayne Schintz, by the way, sadly passed away at a young age. But he was at Florida with Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell, back in the late 80s.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he
there
rocked a mullet better than anybody could ever rock a mullet. We'll come back. It's the whip around what happened in this day in Orioles history and what happened over the weekend, World of Sports. You know, the PGA Championship, that Preakness thing that happened out of Pimlico. You were there, right?
I was there.
A great race.
Great race.
No doubt about it. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Derrick Henry met with the media within the hour. American League East report, as we said, the AL East outside of New York, not doing all that great. We'll elaborate. And Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network, we'll talk some football with him as we're a couple of weeks from OTAs.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, time for the whip around. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, ripping it with Ryan all week long. Vinny's on vacation. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Preakness Stakes. Epic race. Journalism wins down the stretch. What's it, Gosker? He came in second. And I don't want to make it all about me, but he was the 9 horse. Had him paired up with every horse but the 2. So guess who did not win a dime on Saturday? This guy over here. It was a brutal day for me and Mrs. Haney. And we bet on literally every race. I had 120 in the till. Express bet.
So did you win anything at all?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
When
you won a full over.
When the day was over, we were down to like $6. So we bet over 100 on nothing. I felt like the Orioles.
I knew you were going to tie this back somewhere. It was me.
I was up with the bases loaded 4 times on Friday night and couldn't get a hit. But you were there.
I was.
And it was an epic. If this would have been him winning the second leg of the Triple Crown, because remember, he lost in the Derby, that would have been an epic thing and would have really had people buzzing for the Belmont coming up here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part of the horse racing world, right, is coming to Baltimore for the Preakness, is that does that hope stay alive? Now, obviously, there was not going to be a Triple Crown winner because of I'm blanking on the horse that won the Kentucky Derby right now.
Oh, my.
But you know what I mean, right? So it takes away the fun from it. But the race itself, hey, it was a great day, great environment, great race. It's exciting. It's fun. And I love that it's a part of the Baltimore culture too, right, Bob? And maybe it's also part of the Baltimore culture that Bob Haney does not win many horse races. You're also still you're in debt still because you got to pay Nolan and Vinny too. So, I mean, it's just been a rough.
Elias cost me money this weekend.
Yeah, so that was a rough Saturday for you in general.
Yes, a sovereignty won the Kentucky Derby. But it does set up kind of if he runs in the Belmont, journalism and sovereignty going at it for the third leg.
But it doesn't feel the same because it's not for the Triple Crown, right?
And that's the last Preakness at Pimlico for a couple years, right? They're moving to a Laurel race course out there in PG County. But congratulations to journalism there. Let's see. Scottie Scheffler won the PGA.
Yes, he did.
Going away. As a matter, this guy named like Johnny Vegas was winning the first couple. I never even heard of him. And now Scheffler, who a year ago at this time was getting popped at the PGA, he wins, and he's halfway to the career what do they call it? Grand Slam.
Grand Slam.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard Marty Smith interviewing him after and said, does it feel like what run you've been on? Do you ever take a step back and realize, what company you're putting yourself in? He's like, no, I don't want to go there. But Scotty's dealing right now. And it was, we love the theatrics on the Sundays of the big events in the golf world. But Scotty's just going out there just playing sound golf, hitting his shots, and, that stress-free. I think a lot of people would appreciate the stress-free, but we're watching greatness for him. It's been an awesome run he's been on here the last year or two plus.
Yeah, he's like a young Nolan McGraw out there on the link.
I couldn't have described it better.
Doing his thing. Stanley Cup playoff, Panthers blow out the Maple Leafs 6-1. They win that series in seven, so they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, they'll take on Carolina, who finished off the Capitals last week. Oilers and Dallas, that's your Western Conference. So they're down to four there. Same in the NBA playoffs. And yesterday, boy, Game 7, usually want drama. And look, I love watching the NBA. I've been doing it my whole life. But, man, a lot of blowouts in the playoffs. Not a lot of drama.
Did you hear Aaron Gordon's comments after the game about him saying, I'd love a couple days in between? And I didn't take it as the excuse part. But he did say, he goes, one more day for us to be rested. And I think that maybe you'd see a better product of what's on the court, because no one likes a blowout here. But what do you think about that?
I think he's on point. Yeah. And you're going to see that they don't play again. Well, OKC plays, they're on it Tuesday.
I believe so.
Yeah, then Wednesday's the Knicks in Indiana. And both of those teams are going to be off for quite some time before they tip it off. But anyway, It was Oklahoma City at home against the Nuggets, 2 years removed from winning the NBA championship, and maybe the eventual MVP did some MVP stuff in the deciding game.
Caruso with yet another steal. Caruso throws it back. SGA throws it down.
ESPN/ABC on the call. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, as it was 125-93. Puppy pants out there in OKC. Jalen Williams had 24 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, had 8 points, 4 boards, 3 assists there. So 7-game series ends with kind of a rout. If it was a boxing match, they would have stopped it in the third quarter. So OKC gets now the T-Wolves Tuesday at 8:30, and then in the East Wednesday, Indiana at New York. Who you liking in the NBA conference finals there?
It's hard for me to go against the feelings of the Timberwolves, but I'm gonna go with the best team in the Western Conference. I'm gonna go Thunder,
And then I like the Knicks in the East.
You know what? Because you like them, I'll go with the Knicks there. I think it's gonna be a good series. But how about this, Bob?
Yes,
7 straight years, 7 different champions in the NBA.
You did hear me just say I lost $120 betting on horses, right?
Okay, so I'm gonna go on the Pacers, Thunder Pacers right there. Wait, you got the Thunder or the Wolves?
Oh, I got OKC in 6. But if there are basketball gods, air quotes, you got to have T-Wolves in the Knicks, because they made that big trade in the offseason. Tibbs used to coach the T-Wolves. Cat got traded. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo did not leave quietly when he went from New York. Oh, that would be the matchup for the dramatic purpose. But I see New York and OKC.
Yeah, it should be. You know what? I love the matchups. There's a lot of star power, and I love the parity. I love seeing teams that we're not used to seeing have chances. What, the Knicks? 25 years since they've been to the conference finals here. Should be buzzing here in the conference final stage.
It's the whip around on this Monday. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Real quick, this day in Orioles history, it's May 19th, 1983 in Toronto. Disco Dan Ford hit a two-run homer in the eighth inning. Scott McGregor goes 8 1/3, pick up his fourth win. Tippy Martinez, his fourth save, 2-1 Orioles there. 2012 down in D.C. Jonesy, Nick Markakis each homered. Robin Adino drove in 2. Jason Hamill, remember how good he was that year? Fifth win, 5-1. And speaking of good, oh, Jim Johnson picked up his 15th save of the year as the Orioles beat the Nats 6-5, 2023. The good old days, Nolan, of 2 years ago. Mountie, Taters, and Adam Frazier all went deep. Kyle Gibson went 7 strong as the Orioles beat Toronto 6-2. And then a year ago today, against Seattle, Oriole Park Cannon Yards, Gunnar Henderson and Ryan O'Hearn both hit homers. Corbin Burnes, who's now pitching really well for Arizona, he went 6 strong with 11 Ks as the Orioles beat the Mariners 6-3. What a difference a year makes.
Good times, 2024, right? Yeah. Early, June, prior to, June 25th of last year, right? Good times.
They smoked the Yankees 17-5. That went out, got swept in Houston, and Adley took a foul ball, and, We've talked about that. Brandon High got fired. We'll talk more about that. American League East style coming up in a couple of minutes. But NFL lunch is next. Derrick Henry met with the media, got a brand new contract extension, and the Ravens signed a new D lineman to effectively replace Michael Pierce.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.